Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Our pastors in Colombia, we sure miss him. Every Sunday, he blesses us with the Word of God. We have a pastor that we can tell that he studied the Word of God, and every Sunday he take the Word to us, and we're so blessed to have him. Amen. I have been enjoying him. You know, sometimes he invites me to a pastor meetings. You know, pastors are very peculiar. They have different subjects than people about, you know, church and church growing and the problems of churches, you know. But every time that I spend time with Ron, I'm blessed. When I'm in the car, we can have conversations. We can have even some debates and he's so gentle, and I'm blessed to sitting under his leadership. Amen. So today he asked me to preach and to share something with you, and let's just pray, amen, that God can speak to us. Father, we put this time in your hands. Help me to preach your word with your heart, with your mind, with your spirit. And all the glory and all the honor is going to be for you, Father. And in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Are you ready? Well, I always ask you patience. As you know, my English is not my first language. But I know that you will help me. If I say something wrong, you just tell me, hey, this is like this. No problem. You know, sometimes it's very hard, you know, that. For us, English is hard. For example, the other day I was talking about Job in the Bible, and I said Job, because it's, you're written the same. So sometimes, you know, you don't know, but you know I will need that help. Somebody at the end told me, hey, you. Somebody very graciously told me, hey, you don't need you don't. We don't say for Job. We don't say Job. We say Job. So I said, thank you so much. Now, right now, it's Job. Amen? So if I miss a word, just please, you can help me at the end. Amen? So the message of my today is, I urge you now more than ever. And I will ask my brother Liam if he can come and he can read us the Word of God. There's a mic here, so... Yeah, no, I can, because the camera's not gonna know where you are.
And you know, Roger, I'd say that the devil did a job on Job, you know, so you weren't so far off.
Right. He's here too.
Okay, so open, I'll stand, please, for the Word of God. And turning your Bibles to 2 Timothy 4.
Chapter
1. It's going to be 1 through 5.
1 through 5.
Yeah, we'll read 1. I'll read 1 through 5. All right. Paul says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, bro. Thank you, bro.
You may be seated.
So... I urge you now more than ever. What was happening when Paul wrote these words? I have this mic. Okay, what was happening when Paul wrote these words? Paul was in his final years. Scholars, they consider that 2 Timothy was the last book that Paul wrote. He was in the jail. He was waiting for his sentence. So when you are in that time of your life, you want to say things that are important. Amen? To your children, to people. And this is the accent, and this is the tone that he said. He said, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus. That's the first point that I want to talk to you. I solemnly urge you. I remember my son. He was 8 years old. And they went to a missionary school in Guatemala. They were Guatemalans, but the missionary school, everybody spoke English. It was an English, an American school. So they went, and so my son was 8 years old, and they were playing soccer. So they were, every afternoon I have to, you know, wait for my son. He was practicing and playing soccer. So the game came with another school. And he was 8 years old, and he began to, you know, to play with others. But I saw that my son in that game, his first game, 8 years old, I saw that my son, he doesn't move. He didn't move. He was like, and, you know, and I know he was a good player because, you know, I taught him when he was little, you know, what to do, how to kick the ball, everything. He knew everything. But I said, you know, I began to walk where he was, and he said, Andre, you have to move. He told me, no. He told me, the coach told me that this is my place. So he was like, you know, so he thought that the coach told him that, and he was so, you know, urged to obey that. And so and when he grew up, he understood that, you know, he made a mistake. But sometimes we have to understand these words from the Lord. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ, who will someday judge the living and the dead. When he comes, he will judge the living and the dead. Sometimes life, it doesn't take so people can be punished or rewarded. Some people, they do unjust things, and they die, and nobody, and we don't see the punishment here. For that reason, we have a final judgment, where the Bible says he will judge the living and the dead. Now, there are four revelations of God to the human race. Romans chapter 1 talks about one revelation. It's the revelation of the world. The Bible says, if you read Romans chapter 1, the Bible says that the people, even that they haven't seen God, God is manifested through creation. Because everything that is created, the people will realize, who did this? So, I always battle in my mind with the ancient civilizations. I would say, what happened with my people? I'm Peruvian. What happened with my people, the Incas? What happened with them? They never heard the gospel. But the Bible says that they got a revelation. It's the revelation of the creation. And hear this. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that they have a choice to glorify God for his creation or to not give thanks to the Lord. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that most of them, they were idolaters. They worship the cows. They worship the serpents. They worship men, even though they had the revelation of the creation. So the first revelation that people is going to be judged is the revelation of the creation. Second, there is another revelation that God gave to human race. is the Word of God written in their hearts. This is what the Bible says. The deeds of the law written in the hearts of the people. Romans chapter 2. So sometimes you wonder why there is people that probably they're in Japan and they are not Christians and they are moral. It's because the Bible says that the deeds of the law are written in the heart of men. And people will be judged by their conscience, by those deeds, according to Romans chapter 2. There is a third revelation that God gave to human race. It's the law. And the law is especially given to the Jews. Romans chapter 2, verse 13, talks about the law. And the fourth revelation that God gave to human race is Jesus Christ. And this is where we are right now. We are in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, when people hear the gospel, they're going to be judged because that hearing. And if some people didn't hear the gospel, they're going to be judged by the revelation of the creation, of the deeds written in their hearts. And the Jews will be judged according to the law. But the law tells us in the book of Romans, which is a book that talks about, the book of Romans is written to a community that is mixed. It's mixed with Jews and Gentiles. So if you want to understand the book of Romans, they were having some problems because diversity always brings sometimes problems. Diversity only works when you have the same core values. If you don't have the same core values, it doesn't work. You understand? Like if somebody comes here and wants to steal and wants to kill, it doesn't want to respect women and doesn't want to respect authority, being diverse doesn't work. But in here, we value life. Amen? We value truth. We respect the property. We respect the life of people. It works. No matter if you're Chinese, if you're black, if you're Caucasian, it works because we have the same core values. So what problem we're having right now with society is that we need to come back to God. We need to come to Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. Now, Paul is at the end of his life, and for that reason he's saying in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, he's saying, now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, hear this word, the righteous judge. Hey, you and I, sometimes we wonder, what is going to happen with those people that they never heard the gospel? I talked to you about four revelations. Creation, what is the second? The deeds of the heart, what is the third? The love for the Jews. And the fourth, the Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here this verse, and now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. So if you wonder what is going to happen with those people, those tribes that they never heard the gospel, I have good news for you. Just rest in the Lord. He's a righteous judge. And he's going to know with what revelation he's going to judge them. I'm not the giver of the law. I cannot send anybody to hell or anybody to heaven. You know, those Christians surprise me, those Christians, that they are sending everybody to hell and everybody to heaven. We're not the givers of the law. Only God's know. Our judge, our work is to preach the gospel and let his love do the work. Amen? So he's explaining about the God's judgment. And the verse 2, he's encouraging Timothy. He's encouraging Timothy. are you now more than ever, he's saying. Preach the word. Amen? Preach the word. Verse 2. Preach the word of God. I know you're telling me, probably in your mind, but I'm not a preacher. I don't have to, I don't know how to preach, and I understand that. But there are many ways that you can share the gospel. First, you can pray for those who preach the gospel. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, he said, as pray for me too, ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for the Jews and Gentiles alike. You can pray for those who preach the gospel. Second, you can support your local church as I know you do it. So the local church can teach and preach the word of God. Third, you can have acts of generosity, of service, even though you don't preach the gospel. When I was in Guatemala, I married my wife very quick when I saw her, probably. I went to Guatemala when I was 20, and when I was 21, I was married. Can you believe it? I was a good missionary, right? So we went, we were living in a neighborhood, and I was working in a Bible school. I was the worship leader in that Bible school, and I was in charge of all the legal papers from those missionaries. Those missionaries, they were from Jacksonville, most of them, from Florida, and the headquarters are in Florida. It's a missionary agency, a missionary ministry in Jacksonville, Florida. So I was there in Guatemala with them. I was the only Latino, and everybody was from the United States. So I have to work from 7 to 1. I went to my house at 1, came back 5:30. So we have like teachings in the morning, and I had to lead the worship. The missionaries were teaching the word, and I had to come back 3 days a week at night. But in the afternoon, what happened is that I always loved soccer, and I began to play soccer with some kids. They were 8, 9, and during the afternoons, I took a nap, and after the nap, I just went outside, and there was those kids, and I was playing with them, and after, you know, they like me, and I like them, I just was playing, and I said to my wife one day, why don't we just bring them home, we just can sing with them, and get some cookies, some food. So they came to our house, they were so happy that we invited them to our house. Okay. So they become kind of like our family, our friends. And my wife used to cook for them. And the little group was growing. They were so happy. I was singing. I was teaching to them just worship songs. And they were singing with me. I didn't know. You know, their families were broken. And, some of them were poor kids. So we began to feed them once a week, just giving food, so they can come to our house. And I remember an idea came to my mind. I was a worship leader. I recorded my first album in Spanish over there. And I was surprised. I was the first surprise. And I sold 100,000 copies of my first album. And I was surprised that in my 21, 22 years old, the Lord was blessing my worship ministry. But I always had this heart for sharing the gospel, even that I was a worship leader. So I said, okay, now we have the children. I said, why don't we invite the parents, right? So I remember one of our neighbors, I talked to my wife, we get an agreement, and my wife made pastel, Stephanie? A cake for her. My wife made a, my daughter's here, so she can help me. My wife made a cake for her. So I remember I knocked her door, and, say, my wife, this, we made this for you, my wife made it. And that neighbor was so, like, impressed that somebody, you know, blessed her with a cake. So I had a meeting with the parents, and three or four of their children played with me some afternoons. So one day I told her, hey, we're going to have a meeting with the parents. We invite you. Thursdays, next Thursday is going to be the meeting. And she told me, okay, I will go. You know how some Latinos, they give you a word, they don't fulfill it. They don't do nothing, you know. So we prepared everything. The children were there. We were waiting for the parents. We told them, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, nobody showed up. 7:30, nobody showed up. 9, nobody showed up. So I was kind of like discouraged, because I said, well, we prepared this. We wanted to share the gospel. Any parent came, and I was going to just close the meeting and just sing with the children and say goodbye. But somebody knocked my door. 9 o'clock. She said, I'm sorry. When I saw, oh, come on. I said, can I come? I said, I'm sorry, it's too late. I just came from my work. I said, yes, come on. So she came. So I said in my mind, okay, I'm going to start all over again. So I'm going to share the word. So we brought him some food. And after that, I shared the word kind of like for 5-7 minutes. And she began to cry. I told her if she wants to receive Jesus Christ in her heart. She lifted her hands. She began to cry, and she received Jesus Christ. Amen. That night, God used even my discouragement so I can stay there to preach the gospel. And you know what? Next week, she brought her mom. Her mom got saved. Next week, her mom brought her boyfriend. Her boyfriend got saved. So now we have 3. She brought her sister. Her sister got saved. She brought another sister. Another sister got saved. The sister brought their children. The children got saved. And suddenly I have 24 people saved without going to any church. They were new believers. 24 people. I didn't know what to do. I was 22. In my house. So I said to a sister, what do we do right now? She told me, why don't we plant a church? And I said, look, we plant a church? That sounds like a good idea. But I didn't know what I was doing. So we planted a church. And we ended up, after the years, kind of like 160 people. Most of them, they were new believers. And the Lord has been merciful. Just to use us, just playing soccer with children. Just giving them some cookies. And sometimes we don't understand that the acts of service to other people, it's just a way so you can preach the gospel. Preach the word. Because, you know, God will open you, will give you a bridge always. When you build relationships, God will give you a bridge so you can talk to people. When you have acts of service, like the cake my wife did, you know, sometimes people are going to talk, oh, I'm having, you know, some issues with my body, with my health. When somebody tells you that, that's a bridge. So you can say, I know a healer. I know somebody. Or you just can say, I'm just going to pray for you. Amen? Something that will open that relationship so you can share the gospel, very natural, not religious, but with the love of Christ. Amen? So we planted the church, and suddenly I didn't have too much problems with the people. There were 24 people in my house. But when I opened the church, I began to have problems. Because now, what do we do with the worship? What do we do with the building, with the parking? What do we do with the children? You know, it's more organizational. You know, and sometimes people don't know all the things that demands to build a church. It's a lot of work. It was easy in my house, to be honest. It was easy in my house. So be prepared to preach the word. Be prepared with your life, with your testimony, with your words, or just sharing the word of God with somebody. Always remember where the Lord, where you were before you received Christ. You never preach with pride. Always knowing that you are in Christ by His grace. And He did something in your life. And you can share the gospel. So, there's another verse. Verse 2 says, be prepared whether the time is... ¿Dónde está? Read it for me. Okay, here it is. Can you read it for me? Be prepared. Yes. Be prepared. You know, we always have to be prepared. Ron, one Saturday, he called me, said, Roger, I cannot talk. I don't have a voice. He said, can you help us? I had to be prepared. Oh, Lord, what I do? I have all my sermons in Spanish. I have to translate it. You know, but the word of God says, be prepared. When it's good time, when it's a bad time, be prepared to share the gospel. Right now, people will we have to prepare in some states because probably can come bad times. The church has to raise up to share the gospel. Now, okay. Ivan, you tell me what time did I start? I don't want to preach too much. Yes? Okay. Let's go. Okay. Great. 10:30. Okay. So be prepared whether it's time favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. So this is like family, because family, you need to correct sometimes. Sometimes you need to rebuke. But always you need to encourage. You know, I have been pastoring in Guatemala for more than 30 years. And I always tell my Hispanic pastors, because some Hispanic pastors, because of the culture that is very hard, they suffer a lot. And they suffer a lot from dictators and corruption. And sometimes our churches are very, the spirit is condemnation. It's like, I always tell them, when they allow me, I said, just do it like a family. Just do it like a family. Pastor like a family. Sometimes you need to correct. Sometimes you need to speak straight. And most of the time, you need to encourage. I don't need to change my voice. I don't need to scream to anybody. Amen? Because we are family. If my children, if I go to in the table, la, 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 they're not going to hear to me. So I always encourage my Hispanic pastors. I said, you know, when they ask me questions, I said, lead as a family. Love. Cook together, eat together, have fun together. And this is a blessing in Calvary Chapel of Lisbon. Once a month, we eat together. Hallelujah. I love that day. It's a blessing. Amen? Because we know one another. We speak. Because it's a family. Amen? You know, I lead the worship sometimes and I make mistakes. But we're a family. We encourage one another. So correct, rebuke. Now, the corrections, according to one verse in Proverbs, has to be with two elements. It's mercy and truth. As the Word of God says, Proverbs chapter 3. Correction has to be with mercy and truth. Now, some people, they only have truth. I'm going to tell him what I think. But if you don't have mercy, the correction is not going to work. And some people, they are too merciful, and they don't say the truth. They hide the truth, and you're not going to help the people. So the correction has to be with love and truth. You know where I always tell this history about my daughter, Stephanie. You know, the first one, I have heard these stories about the first one, that parents are very strict with the first one, right? So forgive me, my daughter. So I remember that they invite us to lead the worship in many churches. But she was a beautiful daughter. Always she was well behaved, and we used to go to churches, and she was sitting there. She was sitting over there. But anybody could come and say, "Oh, baby, no." If somebody came that she didn't know, she was, because she's like 3, 4, 5 years old. So one day we were leading the worship with Johnny, you know, leading the worship, and somebody came to talk to my little 4 years old. And she looked at me, and I was in the worship, hallelujah. Let your peace come. And she was, wah! So I said, when we were in the car, I said, "Okay, we have to talk at the house," I told her. And so I went to the house, and she slept in the car. So when we went to the house, I couldn't talk to her. And next morning, I remember all the screams she did in the church. So I said, "I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to tell her that next time she doesn't have to do that." So the soonest I thought that I'm going to talk to her, I received a word from the Lord. He says, "My mercies for you are new every morning. What about your daughter?" So I said, "I'm not going to talk, because his mercies are new. What I'm going to say something to her about happened to yesterday, or I'm going to discipline her, or whatever. His mercies are new." So I said, I hugged her. She went to school. His mercies are new. So correction has to be with mercy and truth. Always truth. Don't be too flaky. But you need to have mercy. Amen? Rebuke. Sometimes we have to rebuke. When we have to rebuke? When somebody's bringing damage to other people. Somebody we have to talk straight. When somebody's bringing damage to the communities, bringing damage to a place. But always we need to encourage. Amen? Always say something good to people. Be a lifter, build people up. You know, I have to be outside, and I always remember people, they always need a good word. Sometimes I just tell them, "Hey," you know, sometimes I see different styles. You know, sometimes they are, when I look at, "Oh, good styles. Oh, thank you." You know, but that gives me a bridge so I can share the word of God. Always be a lifter, encourage. It says later, For a time is coming when the people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. If some people will hear teachings that they are not moral, they are not from the Word of God. And we have a problem here, because it says here in point number 7, it says they will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. So we have a twofold problem we have here. That we have false teachers, and we have people that they want to hear whatever they want. So sometimes we say, "Hey, let's take the false prophets out." Okay, now we have another problem. The people wants to hear what they want. And for that reason, here in Calvary Chapel, we go verse by verse. Every Sunday, you will see our pastor preach the word. Sometimes we read things that we don't like it. But he explained the word to us. It's the good teaching of the Bible. He said, they will reject the truth in case after myth. But it says, you shall keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. So, the Lord is encouraging you to today. Preach the word. Probably you say, I can't. Will you pray for others? Amen? You say, okay. I don't pray too much. Okay, support your local ministry. Okay, I'm not a preacher. Do acts of generosity. That will open you the door. Amen? Recognize the breaches that God is connecting you with people. Say, the Bible said, preach the word. I want to close with this history of the Bible. John chapter 6, verse 9. Do you remember when Jesus was feeding 5,000 people? Remember that verse in the Bible. There's a miracle that was happening there. A lot of people was there. And their disciples, Jesus' disciples, they come and they say to Jesus, what are we going to do? It's too much people. How are we going to feed them? And the Lord tells them, you do it. And it was so good one Sunday that our pastor said, somebody needs prayer. Somebody is asking that if you can go to their house. And pastor said, if you want to go, just let me know. Because we are the church. Amen? Not one man. We are the church. And one day I said to the pastor, did somebody tell you that wants to go to that place to share the gospel with that woman? And the pastor told me, yes. Somebody came and told me, I'm going to visit that person. Hallelujah. Because we are the church. Amen? So, there's a young boy that was there. And he said, we don't have any bread. We don't have any food. But one disciple says, there is a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? 2 fishes and 5 bread. Can you imagine that little guy, how he felt? What is this? For so many people. And sometimes we feel the same way. See, what do I have to offer? The Bible is telling me, preach the gospel. But I don't have too much. I cannot sing. I cannot preach. But you can always preach with your generosity, with prayer, with act of service. And when the Lord give you a bridge with somebody, you just can share your testimony. I remember, and I will close with this history. We always, as a ministry, in Guatemala, took a house. It was a house from the government. But the government, you know, cannot do in those countries. Our congressmen, sometimes they have salaries that are over even the Congress from the United States in a third world country. The politicians, they go to the Congress, you know. So many institutions, there are no roads because those guys are living like, you know, so rich. And so we took one home where they rescued girls that were in sexual exploitation. 12 years old. When we went with my wife, I remember I remember they called me one day. Oh, no, somebody put a post in Facebook. I need a pastor, I need a church that I can go to this place because our time is over. So I wrote to the guy, I said, we want to start going to that place. So I went, they received me. The first time we went, we took them pizzas and cokes, and they were so happy. At the end, they told us, thank you for sharing the word, but thank you for bringing us pizza and sing with us. You know, see, they said, you know, many preachers, they come here, and they just speak to us very hard, but nobody bring nothing but your church, your ministry, the people you came with, they brought something. Thank you so much. And when I was in that ministry, we used to go, you know, every 15 days, once a month over there. And I always was looking, what do they need? You know? And the Lord gave us an opportunity to raise funds to help to buy them stoves, refrigerators, and many other things, and paint the building. And I always was trying to look, you know, after we preach and we sing, trying to look what they need, talk to the managers. And so I was with the girls over there after singing, and I told them, what do you need for next time? What do you need? One lady told me, we need a hug. We need a hug. You know, I was very materialistic in my mind, trying to raise funds so I can buy things that they need. Of course they need it. But this 12-year-old girl told me, I need a hug. Is all you have for people? Just give it. And preach through your hugs. Because the Lord will use it. Next meeting we went, I took a lot of grandmas with me. the scenario was very, very, very tough to see because we began to see little girls pregnant. They're pregnant, 11 years old, 12 years old. But we have to be there because we're the church. Some people, we need just a hug. Don't think that you don't have too much. Probably you just have two fishes and five breads. That's all what you have. Give it to people because the Lord is going to do a miracle through you. Amen? Let's just pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're calling us this morning. I urge you now more than ever to preach the word. Thank you, Lord, to preach the truth. Thank you, Lord, because you're going to use this beautiful family to touch others. Probably they feel like they don't have too much to offer. But Lord, they are gifted. They are special. They are beautiful people that you can use them for your glory. And Father, thank you for this new time that you're going to use us, Father, to be a blessing to Calvary Chapel of Lisbon, to be a blessing for many people. Thank you, Lord. If you want to pray, just feel according to God, what God spoke to you in your heart. Let's pray. Just lift up your voice. You can have a prayer right now, a prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for the word that we heard. We're just so blessed. We just thank you for everything you've done for us and for us today. In Jesus Christ.
Amen. One more prayer. Amen. Amen. It's your time. Thank you, guys. No, thanks to you guys. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.